So we've heard advice from George Lakoff on how to handle tweets, but how should we view the rest of Trump's stunts and diversions? And how should we report on them? Well, obviously, first we must consider what drives them, not just individually, but as Lakoff advises, systemically.
It's a very simple formula in entertainment and television. If you get good ratings, and these aren't good, these are monster, then you're going to be on all the time, even if you have nothing to say.
Nathan Robinson, editor-in-chief of the progressive publication Current Affairs.
Because he has suggested that this has been part of his sales strategy, building this persona, I do think there's reason to believe that a certain amount of it is put on deliberately, that he plays up the outrageousness.
Let's just talk about his claim earlier this week that the inauguration is going to be so great, great, great. You can't even buy a dress in Washington, D.C. They're all sold out. Now, whether or not there is a sufficient supply of ball gowns in is obviously of no significance to anybody. But the fact that the president-elect simply invents stuff, isn't that in and of itself newsworthy?
Well, it would be in a different era, but now we're in the Trump era, and we have to distinguish between the time that we spend trying to make people understand the lies that are most significant.
What you're describing is triage, devoting the limited resources to the cardiac cases first and letting the people suffering with this broken ankle sit in pain in the waiting room. How do you make that call in the heat of the moment?
First, I think it has to be a commitment to understanding what the issues that matter are, understanding that if climate change is something that is threatening human civilization, it has to dominate what we talk about every day, and then a commitment on journalists to make sure that in their work they are prioritizing what their mission is. The thing we need to understand is we think if he is embarrassing himself, he must care, but he really doesn't care. The people who did the Comedy Central roast of him a couple of years back, the comedians who were writing the material said it was weird that he didn't actually mind being embarrassed and humiliated as long as people were watching him and nothing else.
He will not directly answer any question. It almost sounds as if you're suggesting that we don't bother with a Trump press conference at all.
I don't think you can totally ignore the president's press conferences. I think this is really a matter of allocating your time and resources carefully, because he's still going to be the president tomorrow, he's still going to be the president the day after that, and he's going to be exactly the same every single day.
Now, I want to come back to something you mentioned earlier, and that is the fact that we're just in a different reality. And that hate speech, racism, sexual assault, all of which would have been career enders for any previous president of the United States, just doesn't seem to matter. In Trump world, where does the line where we have to pay attention begin? Is it murder? Treason? What rises to the level of this triage attention that we've been discussing?
Well, it's ordering your priorities carefully by those things that have the most human consequence. So I think the sexual assault allegations against Trump, that kind of disappeared from the press. I actually think that should come back because it's an example of something that actually hurts real people. Trump's theft from his contractors and workers, that is something that was real and material. So if you just start asking the right questions, which is, who's hurt here? What is the consequence? Then I think you can begin to put things in an order of priority and assign coverage accordingly.
One of the proxies for journalists who can't get the goods on a politician that they mistrust is to catch them in some sort of naked hypocrisy. You think it doesn't really, you know, move the ball forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I think those kinds of issues, in terms of that triage question, they are low on the list of priorities. There's going to be a lot of this around building the wall, I think, where we go, well, see, look, Trump isn't actually building the wall. Well, we don't want to goad Trump into building the wall. So we should try and focus on those things that we care about rather than Trump's failure to embody what he says he believes.
So as part of the triage process,
One big area that you would remove from the coronaries and throw in with the sprained ankles is fact checking. Fact checking?
Well, I'm not opposed to fact-checking. It's more an implication that if you fact-check Trump and you prove him wrong, you've somehow got him. You've also got to be really, really careful, because sometimes there's more of a core to what he says than fact-checkers let on, because they're checking the literal, precise truth of the statement and ignoring some of the underlying truth. So Trump said, Obamacare is raising your premiums 60, 70, 80%. Well, then the fact-checkers come in and they say, well, actually, it's only an average of 9%. Some premiums may rise to 60%, but not 80%. Yeah, you get that he's wrong, but you also haven't really countered the underlying point that he's trying to make. And I think this was a real failure, was a belief that you, by holding him accountable on the precision of his statistics, rather than forming effective counter-narratives to the underlying points he makes that have some emotional truth and some factual truth to them, that you could be effective.
In essence, you're saying discount the fact that he's a liar. That's been established. So let's not get bogged down in checking those facts, because we will just spin our wheels endlessly for 4 years. That seems like such a surrender, such an abrogation of our fundamental responsibility as journalists to truth, or at least the facts.
No, I'm not saying do that. What I'm saying is our first duty is not necessarily to point out whether Trump is telling the truth or not, because then we'll end up writing articles that are on the subject of how many dresses in Washington are actually still available.
People did.
Right. I mean, yeah, you got to the truth, but I think that makes clear that truth is one of your duties. Journalists have other duties as well, to make sure that people are informed on matters of substance rather than just being informed that their president is a liar. We have to have a sense of what creates a hierarchy of significance among lies that leads us to draw attention to particular ones versus other ones. You can't just be neutral on what matters and what's important. You really are going to be flailing for 4 years, just running this way and that, trying to fact-check everything even though it's impossible, trying to call out his 100 character flaws. Unless you have a sense of these are the principles that matter, you know, healthcare matters because it hurts people, climate change matters because it hurts people, you don't really have a way to coherently counter Trump as a media organization.
Nathan, thank you. If you'll excuse me, I've got to go resume the fetal position and whimper.
Yeah, I'll join you there.
Nathan Robinson is editor-in-chief of currentaffairs.org and author of the upcoming book, Trump, Anatomy of a Monstrosity, which will be released on Inauguration Day.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.